Shining City Audio, a John Meacham and C-13 original studio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On April 12, 1955, in Ann Arbor, Michigan, Dr. Jonas Salk's vaccine for polio was approved. I'm John Meacham, and this is Reflections of History. The press release was prepared to go out at 20 minutes after 10 o'clock on the morning of Tuesday, April 12, 1955. Its first nine words told the tale. The vaccine works. It is safe, effective, and potent. The virus in question was polio, a scourge of American life, particularly for the young, from the late 19th to the middle of the 20th centuries. Polio is a viral attack on the tissue in the center of the spinal cord, resulting in paralysis. Symptoms range from the minor, headache and nausea and fever, to the terrifying, paralysis, temporary and permanent. And in the worst of cases, death, usually when the brain stem is attacked and disabled, shutting down the lungs. In 1931, there were nearly 16,000 cases and about 2,000 deaths in America. By 1952, there would be nearly 60,000 cases and 3,145 deaths. And so the race for a vaccine was on, led by Dr. Jonas Salk, whose work had been tested by the University of Michigan. Polio was in part a product of prosperity and better hygiene. As David Oshinsky argued in his Pulitzer Prize-winning book about the virus, as the nation cleaned up, new problems arose. There was now a smaller chance that people would come into contact with dangerous microbes early in life, when the infection was milder and maternal antibodies offered temporary protection. In the case of polio, the result would be more frequent outbreaks and a wider range of victims. Franklin Roosevelt, himself a polio in the vernacular of the time, was a driving force behind the March of Dimes, the charity established to fight the disease. FDR's birthday, January 30th, was a key fundraising date. And the vaccine race was not immune to partisan politics. In the late 1930s, the wife of a Republican leader said, "I am willing to contribute to the polio campaign on any day but Roosevelt's birthday. I consider January 30th to be a sad day in the history of the United States." To make the announcement about the vaccine in 1955, Dr. Thomas Francis Jr. told what the press release referred to as an anxious world of parents, that the Salk vaccine has been proved to be up to 80 to 90% effective in preventing paralytic polio. At a meeting of over 500 scientists and physicians, and before the penetrating eyes of cameras and powerful spotlights, Dr. Francis spoke on the effectiveness of the Salk vaccine. The meeting was held at the Rackham Auditorium in Ann Arbor under the joint sponsorship of the National Foundation for Infantile Paralysis and the University of Michigan. Dr. Francis declared the vaccine had produced an extremely successful effect among patients in the areas where vaccine and an inert substance had been tried interchangeably. In strong statistical language, the historic trial of a vaccine and its subsequent analysis was revealed. Over 113 pages in length, the report at long last called a halt to speculations and finally reinforced laboratory findings with concrete field evidence. There can be no doubt now that children can be inoculated successfully against polio. There can be no doubt that humanity can pull itself up from its own bootstraps and protect its children from the insidious invasion of ultra-microscopic disease. The press release went on, "For one thing that was feared turned out to be unfounded. The vaccine proved incredibly safe. Reactions were nearly negligible. Only 0.4% of the vaccinated children suffered minor reactions. An even smaller percent, 0.004 to 0.006, suffered so-called major reactions." Science had triumphed. A disease was beaten back. And in that more trusting time, America heeded. Thank you for listening to Reflections of History, a creation of Shining City Audio, a C13 Originals and John Meacham studio. Reflections of History is executive produced by me, John Meacham, and Chris Corcoran, Chief Content Officer and founding partner of Cadence 13. Production and editing led by Lloyd Lockridge and Chris Basil. Production assistance and operations by Paige Heimson, Andy Jaskowitz, Adam Macias, and Kelly Rafferty. Research assistance by Sarah Jean Caver. Cadence 13 is an Odyssey company.
Do you wake up in a cold sweat from your work dreams?
Have a coworker who keeps inviting you to do escape rooms?
Can't get a coworker to agree to do escape rooms?
Or are you just genuinely not sure how to take the next step in your career?
I'm Kate.
And I'm Kim. And together we run Amy Poehler's company, Paper Kite Productions.
We've been friends and colleagues for years, so we know how important it is to feel like someone has your back at work.
And we want to be that for you.
So we're hosting a weekly advice show where we answer all your work-related questions.
Something amazing happened. I got offered my dream job.
How am I supposed to bring this up to him without hurting his feelings? What should I do?
I want to skip the pleasantries without being an asshole.
Careful, money and friends, they don't mix, babes.
They don't. And don't work with your friends, make your friends at work.
All right, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but that was actually $1 million advice.
Whether you need advice or just love to listen to other people's problems, this show is for you.
Listen and follow Million Dollar Advice, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.